Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we're back. Episode 5. Welcome to the Complex Sneakers Podcast. I'm Joe LaPuma. I am here with my guys, Matt Welty.
What's going on?
And my dude, Brendan Dunn.
I'm in here smelling like dip teak and cup of noodles.
Wow. Price went up since the Fat Joe episode of Full Size Run.
Please believe that.
What are you guys doing for the holiday?
I'm low-key. I was in 4 different cities in 3 days last week.
Work?
Work, and then we had the Kith trip, the Amangani Kith Adidas trip. I don't ski, so I was holed up in the beautiful resort in Wyoming.
Holed up in Jackson Hole?
Yep. Okay, there he is. And I snowmobiled for 3 hours, though.
Yeah, nobody invited me. It's so weird.
Were you on the back of Ronnie's snowmobile?
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't, although the couples on the trip were doing the two-seater. I did the one-seater.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so you going anywhere for the holidays?
Going to see my parents in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the first year that he's actually kind of famous, right?
I don't know.
He's like, I've been famous.
He's not famous at all.
Begs to differ.
You got to go back to the mall? I go back to the mall.
Yeah.
I can't go to the mall these days because I get...
Paparazzi?
No, I get anxiety, man.
Really?
Yeah, it just reminds me of...
I love it.
No, we'll talk about it a bit, but yeah. Working retail, it just reminds me of just... awful hours spent in a sneaker store over and over, and it's just
it's a good reminder.
It's the scent and smells of being in a mall.
PTSD.
Yeah. See, I have the opposite. Now that I'm out of it, and no disrespect to anyone who's working retail, that's how a lot of us cut our teeth, but I love going back, and just it brings me right back to 99 in the mall, Finish Line. And as Brendan Dunn pointed out on the first podcast, we've heard the story before.
We heard my story before. How close was the local mall to you in Idaho?
Oh my God! So there was a mall in the town I grew up in, but mall needs like scare quotes around it here because it was like the most desolate,
was there
silent
a locker
place.
There
was nothing. There was nothing sneaker related there. So to actually buy sneakers at a place like Foot Locker, you would have to drive at least 45 minutes away. The mall we had access to.
Oh, I was thinking it was going to be like 2 hours or something like that.
Not that bad. But I won't be there this holiday season.
You're staying here?
Always.
Okay.
Always.
Brooklyn?
I'll be around.
All right.
You guys are always trying to out my location.
We're trying to dox Brendan Dunn.
Jesus Christ. Like, I don't have enough people DMing me.
There's a lot of mall talk that we're talking. There's a lot of mall talk that we're talking about. And I think that it's a perfect segue to kick off this podcast.
We only do perfect segues around here.
I know. Look at that. It's like we've been together for years. We are focusing in on a iconic sneaker, an iconic Jordan.
I hate you throwing that word around, too.
Okay, here he goes.
I hate throwing that word around, but this is one of the shoes that actually meets that criteria standard.
And also, he's a Jordan hater, so you know that it's iconic. If Welty's co-signing, it's an iconic Jordan. And of course, we're talking about the recently released Jordan 11. So we're going to look back at the history of this tentpole release throughout the years and share some stories that we have with the sneaker. Let's start with you talking about the Jordan 11. And we could go so many ways with this, but just having this in front of you, and what does it mean to you, and what do you think it means to the sneaker space in general?
I think you mentioned that we have a pair of Jordan 11s sitting here on the table. This is the black and red, the playoff, the bread, whatever you want to call it, that just came out this year, the latest retro. I think what's been so exciting about the Jordan 11 is it's been an event for the sneaker community for the past decade. We'll talk about the various retros throughout the years. 2008 was the CDP pair package with the Jordan 12s, and that I don't really consider that part of this yearly Christmas tradition.
You also have the 2006 DMP pack.
Yeah, but it's weird because, you know, the shoes came out in 96. There were some retros around the turn of the millennium. Joe, I know you have a lot of stuff to say about those, but Then there was kind of a drought for a decade where 2006 was the DMP, 2008 was the CDP, but then after that, in 2009, the Space Jam's release. And from 2009 to 2019, this year, it's been a decade of this kind of big event. Every year in the sneaker world, you can expect a giant Jordan 11 release in December. You can expect crazy lines. You can expect crazy headlines. You can expect violence, reselling, like all the drama you can imagine with a sneaker. And it's always been one of those pop culture sneaker moments where the people who don't really know about sneakers know about
Absolutely.
This sneaker.
Before we get into it, just quick rundown. Are we cool or not cool with the term bread? I know some sneakerheads love it, some sneakerheads hate it.
I don't care.
It's the weekly gatekeeping segment.
Yeah. I mean, how do you feel?
Just a question.
I'm not offended by it.
I think I say black and red, but I may say breads. You know,
I don't hate it. I just prefer,
never been the one.
I just prefer to say black.
I'm not a Jordan purist, so so I will defer to them on this. Okay. It doesn't offend me, but you know,
I'm also not a nerd, so I really don't care that much.
I'm a nerd.
Damn, why are you calling all the nerds, man? That's what, are you bullying over here?
No, I'm not bullying.
Giving them wedgies in the bathroom?
No, I'm saying either way is acceptable for me.
I do want to go through this chronologically. Yeah. So, Joe, I know you had a big reverence for the Jordan 11 kind of around the turn of the century, around 2000 when they first came back, 2001, there were some more pairs.
So the summer going into my freshman year of college at UConn was right around the Jordan 11 releasing, and there was colorways like the cool gray colorway and the white and red low tops and remember the blue snake skin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All this is those, 2000, 2001.
Yeah, 2001, and they were all releasing, and I remember I was working that summer just to kind of get fly for freshman year at UConn, and I missed out on the releases when they first released, but I went back, I went to eBay, and I got the cool gray 11s, which to me is still one of my favorite sneakers of all time. And just that colorway cemented cool gray as like one of the most iconic colorways. And I remember working and saving up all cash for the cool gray 11s. And then I went back and I bought the white and red patent leather low tops, mm-hmm. which were very loud. I was probably matching like a LA Clippers fitted to it. Like,
oh, I was about to ask, did the rest of the funds go to G-Unit tank tops at the time?
It might have. But I remember, like, definitely a LA Clippers or a Philadelphia 76ers, white, red, and blue.
Gelled fitted. Hair?
I wouldn't put the gelled hair under the fitted, but if it was no fitted, definitely gelled hair. And those two releases and the Jordan 11 at that time in general will be such a moment. It's one of those, you know, I think it's cyclical in terms of purchasing power. Back in those days when you went on like streaks of really buying a bunch of shoes at a time. And that summer going into freshman year of college for sure was when I was on eBay. And it was like, okay, I got the cool gray 11s. I got the white and red low tops. What's the next colorway I'm getting? And
you needed like a rotation, right? You couldn't just have one pair.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember hearing my manager, who I used to work with at Foot Locker, this guy Mike Richardson, shout out. He used to work in like 2001 at a store in Brockton, Massachusetts, which is kind of like a little bit of a rough neighborhood. But he was saying when the Concord 11s first came back, he remembers just being like 2000, what was it, 2000?
This is 2000.
Yeah, there was just like a huge line outside. They had never really seen lines mm-hmm. for sneakers like that at that moment. And they sold out of the shoes. And it was like an issue that they sold out in the same day because people don't expect it. And everyone wanted that shoe when it came back. And they had to put a sign up in the glass window. And he said people were trying to like throw rocks mm-hmm. at the window and smash it. They were so angry about it. And I think that kind of predates all the violence that happens around this shoe. Yeah. It kind of shows that crazy shit can happen around Air Jordan 11s.
Definitely. And to Brendan's point, even if you're not a sneakerhead, this is one shoe that breaks through.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet that my mom, my sister, and my dad may not know it's a Jordan 11, but definitely know that this is a significant shoe.
Exactly. Like, it's even the way people talk about them, the Space Jams, the Concords,
mm-hmm.
or the
God.
Black and white Space Jams. Like, people don't actually know that it's a Jordan 11 because they're not necessarily people who are super attuned to what's happening in sneakers, but they know these are the breads.
2009, when the Space Jams first came back, you know, I'm working at Foot Locker in Saugus, Massachusetts, and I remember there was like anticipation, it felt like, for the whole year for that shoe to come back.
Yeah.
And this was before people knew really solid sneaker release info.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like almost every single day for 8 months, you had someone coming in. When are the Space Jams coming back? Are the Space Jams back? And it was people who weren't really into sneakers per se, you know, at that point, at least hardcore collectors.
Yeah.
But they just had this title and they remember the movie Space Jam. And they were like, I want the Space Jams. I want the Space Jams. I want the Space Jams. And then finally, when that shoe came out,
this is December 23rd, 2009.
Yeah. And you didn't really have like release date policies in check then.
Okay.
It wasn't raffles. It wasn't like sign up. It wasn't any of that.
Really?
Just,
Foot Locker didn't have any system in place?
No, not at that point. They didn't. And it was just kind of like line up, and we had the gate, you know, and you'd have a guy stand by the door and you'd have to have it open it one by one and have someone, you know, go underneath. And I think I talked about this on the sneaker shopping episode, that people were trying to cut underneath the gate and like shimmy and like, you know, do the...
Were you working security at that point or no?
No.
Oh. Just an employee.
Yeah, just an employee. Just an employee.
How hectic was the day?
I actually, I remember my boss was like, because I was the assistant manager at the time, he was like, yo, you're going to come in at noon. So I missed the release, which kind of pissed me off because I was holding a pair for my friends, and a manager who worked at Foot Action downstairs fucking bought my pair that I had on hold for my friend. And he's like, yeah, dude, I got 10 pairs that day.
Oh,
and I'm like, dude, fuck you, dude.
Joe, did you get a pair of the Space Jams that year? Did you care?
No,
I know you cared.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Wait. At that point, Joe, were you like in the cool guy sneaker, getting them for free?
What year?
2009. Yeah. You were definitely getting free stuff. You were getting Air Yeezys for free back then.
Maybe. I don't think I have a pair of Space Jams,
though. Did you get them that year?
No.
No.
No, I didn't get them.
Did you try?
Wait. I really can't remember, honestly.
I remember I really wanted a pair that year, but there was no way I was lining up because I didn't, you know... We talked about going home for the holidays, and I was home for the holidays at that point. I was in Idaho. I was nowhere near anywhere that was going to have the shoes. And I feel like if I had access to OK Internet at the time, I could have actually bought a pair, but I was like on my mom's computer on dial-up.
Like 28.8 or something like that.
Yeah, you know, 56K trying to refresh NikeStore.com.
That's
back in the day, what it was. And I had a sense of futility, but I still had to try. And this was after like trying other things. Like I remember calling Compound in Portland, was like always has been one of the bigger sneaker stores there, but they didn't have a Jordan account, so there was no way that I could try and finesse something through there. And this was before I worked in the industry, so I had no legitimate plug or way to cheat my way into this release. So Space Jams, I wanted them. I thought about them a lot, but I couldn't do it.
Now that I remember, I definitely did not get the Space Jams, but I waited a year later for the Cool Grey 11s, and I still have that pair dead stock.
Yeah, and even before the Cool Grey 11, you know, there, like I said earlier, there's this schedule of yearly Jordan 11 releases that come out in December, but also in 2010, there was the Silver Anniversary pair that didn't have the Jumpman on the back, but only 25 pairs released with the Jumpman.
I think in 2009, there was a story that in Atlanta, somebody drove a car through the front of a Foot Locker and like stole all the sneakers in the back of the store.
Yeah, I mean, all those crazy headlines you hear about sneaker releases, like...
It's always Jordan 11.
It's almost always a Jordan 11. Joe, you said in 2010, that was when the Cool Greys came out. You did get those.
Yes, and those are dead stock. They are in my parents' basement right now. I check every once in a while, go down there and check. They are pristine, not yellowing, so very happy about those.
How did you get them?
They might have been sent by Jordan.
For free?
Yes. Yeah, they were sent.
Yeah.
I think Jordan sent them for... Yeah, Jordan gifted.
I ended up getting...
Straight from Reggie?
I don't know who it was back then, but...
I ended up getting the Cool Grey Jordan 11s in 2010. I think I bought them off End Clothing. This was like back in the day where End Clothing was like very low-key, and it was kind of the place where people on Nike Talk would share links. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd always have a huge thread for the yearly Jordan 11 release, and people on there would post like all the different stores that were getting them, but like, oh, here's a spot in Europe that's going to have them. And by this point, the release dates weren't super firm, where like stores online might sell them a little early, so
it wasn't like 8 a.m. these are coming out.
Yeah. And like a couple months before, you could buy Black Cement 3s from End Clothing, and that they wouldn't do the VAT tax on you, so they were a little under retail.
Cheaper, yeah.
Ahead of release date, so I had success on that, and then I came back for the Cool Grey 11s End Clothing 2010. I still dead stock. I am actually worried about those.
Yellowing?
Because, no, here's the thing. You mentioned you have them in a basement. I have them in a closet, but on the other side of the country.
Oh.
So there's like a big
Portland?
Chunk of... Don't triangulate my location every. Sorry. We can't give away the.
I'm the fed.
The one thing that I've made this connection several times writing on the site, but I think the best analogy to Air Jordan 11s when it comes to pop cultural references is the movie Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know where he tries to get the Turbo Man toy for his kid,
yeah,
and he has to fight Sinbad in the toy store to get the balls, and he's like running and he's trying to get it. But I felt like at the time working in sneaker stores, that's how Air Jordan 11s were. Like everyone would come in, like if you knew someone, it's like, are you holding me down? Mm-hmm. I have your pair on lock. One dude's trying to buy like four pairs, and if you couldn't get the pairs, it was like a big issue. And it was like, how are you going to get these shoes? Because back at that time, buying shoes on the secondary market was a bit tougher than it is. Mm-hmm. You couldn't just go to StockX, and you had to think about all the parents at the, because they changed it, but at the time, all these Jordans dropped on December 23rd. And you have to kind of put that into perspective. It dropped 2 days before Christmas, and this is pre-StockX. So if your kid, if Johnny wants Air Jordan 11 Space Jams 2 days before Christmas, and mom strikes out on them, you're not going to get the shoes, and you're not going to get your Christmas present.
Yeah. But I want to ask, we've been talking heavily about the releases.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring it back. Why do you think this shoe is as big as it is today and how it was back then? Obviously, it was the first foray into patent leather on a Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think makes this as big as it is? You know, sneaker shopping, we still have guests. The baby said that the Concord 11 is still his favorite. People still buy it when we shoot our episodes. People are still going to Jordan 11s. We've talked about the releases a lot. What do you think makes this an iconic and perfect shoe?
It's so weird because in my head, I don't think that the silhouettes aged as well as some of the other Air Jordans, like Jordan 3s and Jordan 4s.
Why, because it's a little more out there?
I think in today's style, 3s and 4s and 1s are the ones that everyone is mm-hmm. going to wear.
Mm-hmm.
A million people have Jordan 11s because they make that many of them, but you don't see people using it as their everyday shoe.
No.
As much, we kind of made the joke on the site that it's kind of the new dad shoe because, you know, the majority of people that were into it, that's when they grew up in the era from. And you also see a lot of guys wearing these with like bootcut jeans. So
they don't make it their everyday shoe because it's something that's still special. I think because of the design, because it was so unique. And also it's like kind of the perfect storm of nostalgia and marketing. You know, like I said, they didn't make a lot of pairs for 2000 to 2009. And then it's just, you know, they have the Space Jam hook to them, so people remember them from the movie. People remember them from Michael Jordan's performance in them. And it came at a time when the sneaker scene was really bubbling up. 2009 was the same year that the Yeezys first came out.
Yeah. And it was right around that time, even not too far after, when you had, you know, South Beach LeBrons come out. So it was kind of those few years, I feel like. And then the next year you had Galaxy Foamposites. So it was like that kind of sweet spot where Nike basketball really dominated the sneaker space.
Yeah. People were going crazy. I want to keep going through because every year to me, I have like memories of what happened around these.
Definitely.
Like 2011 Concords, where were you guys for that one?
2011 Concord. I mean, I was working at Complex. I'm not sure if I got a pair. It's tough because with them releasing every year, it kind of jumbles together.
Yeah, I know.
It really does. Like,
I was going back through my email, like finding all the old like canceled orders from various stores across the world.
2011, I was definitely working at Menlo Park Foot Locker in New Jersey. And I don't think I cared about the shoe because at that point I was on that like whole menswear wave that happened for...
What were you wearing?
Like fucking Made in USA flannel shirts and selvedge jeans and Red Wing boots.
Oh, red.
That whole.
The Concord 11 comes out and you don't even care about it at all?
At that point, I was just wearing like New Balances and stuff like that. And then
I think that's one of the interesting things about the shoe too, like pardon my incredulousness, but like it's one of those ones where it's like even if you don't care about Jordans, you have to care about this particular
and
release.
And you buy, it's like if you could get them, you buy them.
Why not? Like you can't, it's like you can't ever pass on it.
And that's why I think I may have the Concords from 2011. I just.
Well, you do because
there's been so many.
There's infamous video on the internet. Shout out Sneaker Box
Clyde.
Was
that 2011 though?
Yes.
Okay, Sneaker Box Clyde came to the Complex office on 23rd Street. It's still on YouTube. And he interviewed me and Russ Bankston.
Yeah.
And Russ flexed. You know what Russ brought out?
The Deion Sanders.
Deion Jordan Sanders cleats 11s. In that video. 11s, exactly. Yeah. They were black and red.
Yeah.
The Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah.
It's still on YouTube. And I remember, I brought out the Concord.
But Joe, what was wrong with your pair though?
Super yellowed. And the yellow, not even, I think, on the sole, but it yellowed on the tongue as well. And yeah, there, I think like the thumbnail or something, if you like Google sneaker box Clyde and Joe LaPuma, it's like me showing the yellow.
His views just went up, man.
Yeah. He made sneaker box Clyde was an innovator when it came to recognizing my talent on YouTube.
A classic video. I had a couple orders canceled that year. I have an old receipt from Crooked Tongue, so they canceled my order.
Yeah.
I tried to buy a pair online at Sneakers and stuff as well. And this was another one of those where, like, this was often the case for me back then. I was always buying them online. You know, a couple Jordan 3s, I went to the local Foot Locker in Eugene, Oregon. But Jordan 11s, it was always like, let me just try from Euro sites to get them online. Sneakers and stuff canceled my order. And then they gave me, like, some guy named Olaf emailed me to say I could get a 10% off the next time around. Yeah.
I remember at that time, now you're actually making me remember what was happening. So when I was working at Foot Locker, I don't know if they still had it, but they used, because this was like dealing with backdooring issues at the time, mm-hmm. they had a company policy where only 20% of the stock could be sold to employees on discount.
Okay.
And it was a firm number, right? Yeah. So if you get, you know, 100 pairs, you can sell 20 pairs to whatever, to the staff. And I always thought the allotment was somewhere around like 80 pairs. So mm-hmm. you could get them, but the managers always got the first crack at it. And
right.
I was back at school, so I was working part-time, and I was like way down on the totem pole in
significantly
that.
Less famous December 2011.
Yeah, but definitely I just remember even all the managers were getting them at this point to try and resell to their friends. Like, you knew it was happening because there'd be like a girl who was the assistant manager who'd get like a guy's size like 12, and she's like, well, I know somebody who wants it, and you're like, well,
yeah.
The other thing I love about the shoe, going back to like you saying it's a dad shoe, there's a lot of fits that are tragic.
That's what I mean.
When these come out,
a lot of bootcut jeans.
When these come out, that's exactly what you said. When these come out every year, and then 2 days later, the fits go on Instagram, and it's like people I grew up with, my friends. I'm like, oh man,
Bayshore hasn't figured out this shoe.
just a lot of tongue fucking going on, but not with the right jeans.
Well, because when I was working at one of those stores, my store manager was actually from Staten Island, so he'd have all the Staten Island guys.
Italian guy?
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, he'd have all those guys come through the store. You would definitely see some wild stuff with the sneakers back then.
Oh, my God. I remember even, like, the Concord 11s. I think, so those came out December 2011, and then the next Thanksgiving, there was a Finish Line restock online, and I got through on that, but they never sent me a pair and eventually refunded me. But the one pair of Concord 11s I did get came directly from Gentry Humphrey.
Ooh.
Dude who has been at Nike and Jordan for years, you know, like
he was the design director at Jordan Brand or
he
whatever.
Was like the
he's done everything.
Nike
sportswear, Jordan Brand. So he used to use his Twitter. This is like the early days of Twitter. This was back in 2012 this happened, and he would do Cracker Jacks, which is where he would just like give a random pair of shoes out. He would drop them in some location that he was at and give a bunch of clues on Twitter. And then people would just go find him, and he'd retweet or, you know, let people know when they mm-hmm. were claimed. And so April 6, 2012, I found the old tweet. He says, if you're following me and want a pair of Air Jordan 11s in a size 5, okay. nowhere near, you know, for a child, he said, in a size 5, go to the front desk of the Spirit Mountain Hotel in Oregon and ask for an envelope.
You didn't, that what? Okay.
He said the envelope was for AJ Concord.
Okay.
So Spirit, this was like outside of Salem, and I was in Eugene, Oregon at the time, so it was probably like that's like a maybe 2 hour drive, and I didn't have a car. I didn't have a car, but here's what I had: a friend, a guy named Devin, who lived in Salem, which was like 30 minutes from the casino, and I called him, and I was like, you know, we've all been here, like, right, where you have to send somebody who doesn't know anything about this on a mission to go get you a pair of sneakers. And
with LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom waited in line for G-Unit sneakers, but go ahead.
Yes. God bless Mr. Puma. I told him, I think I offered him $40.
Did he go?
And I told him, listen, I need you to go to, and I explained the situation as best I could. I need you to go to this casino, tell him. And I told him that it was for a pair of sneakers and stuff like that. And even he, the gears were turning in his head because he was like.
Wait, why in a size 5 though? What I
don't know. Gentry Humphrey just had.
Why? And you still wanted them even though they're in a size 5.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, especially because like this was. Like this was, I had just started like freelance blogging, okay. No connections at the point.
So what'd you do with the sneakers?
I'll get to that point.
I don't even know if he got them yet.
I promise I'll tell you. Like I said, I think it was around $40 that I paid him. He drove and he picked up the envelope, and then I think I had to send the envelope to somebody at Nike, and then that person asked for my address and sent me back the shoes. And of course, when
I would have gave up already.
When the person sent the letter back to me, I was like, by the way, I work for Sneaker News and blah, blah, blah. They didn't care. But so eventually I did get the size 5 Jordan 11 Concord straight from Gentry, the only pair I ever had of Concords. And 2 years later, I took them to Flight Club and listed them for $400.
No sentimental value to the left of me. A size five.
What am I going to do?
That's still a cool story.
What am I going to do?
He's also the man who resells Dornbecker Jordans.
We don't need to get back into that.
I would say, though, another thing I like about these, the restocks, they come, you know, they trickle in.
I think we probably paid for the whole complex budget 1 year off of the traffic we did on the Air Jordan restock stories. That was like what, Brendan, like 2000, I think it's right when you joined the company, like 2014 era.
Right.
The most epic of them all, which probably most epic fail of them all, which you remember the East Bay restock?
Yes.
Where they were like, hey, fragment ones, Jordan 11s, yada, yada, yada. And everything came out in like size 14 or 15. Mm.
But here's another
tragic.
Here's another kind of cheat code that I would ask you guys if this is possible to still happen. 2001, it was the same year that I was going back and getting the cool gray and the white red mm-hmm. lows. And the black and red Jordan 11s, the same ones that released a week ago, released on December 15th, essentially 18 years ago or so.
Right.
I missed out on them. And then I would check East Bay every day. But I remember I was at UConn and it was in the spring. And I found around 3 months later a size 11 and a half trick on eastbay.com.
Really?
It was just one. And I ordered it. I was like, there's no way this is going through. Sure enough, one got back in the system. I ordered it and I got it 2 weeks later. And I would ask you guys, with all these pairs releasing, do you think that it's more logical that some pairs would go back online because there's so many pairs releasing and people may be returning them more than others?
Yeah, and I think they just make so much stock that they're just going to trickle them out. Like, you know that when in 2020 NBA All-Star Weekend touches down in Chicago, you know they're going to have thousands and thousands of pairs of black and red Jordan 11s, even if they quote-unquote sold out this past weekend.
Yeah, and even over the past few years, I think Jordan's been very public about it, where they've made over a million pairs per Air Jordan 11 release, which just seems crazy to me.
Yeah.
It just seems insane because, to be honest, I feel like you don't even see people, like we were talking about, I don't feel like you don't see people wearing Air Jordan 11s that much anymore in public. You do see it, a decent amount, but not like white on white Air Force Ones. And it's like, well, where did these million shoes go?
Honestly, I'm glad that they're making more. And I think part of that was sort of a response to the frenzy around the shoes. I mean, the black and red Jordan 12 last came out, just to keep it chronologically in order, in 2012. And, you know, that was when I remember somebody got killed in Texas over that. You know, somebody was murdered and some guy got life in prison over what happened around these shoes.
There was also a kid who got killed in New Jersey from that as well. I remember
from 2012, those black and red Jordan 11s.
I believe it was black and red. I might have the years mixed up, but the kid got the shoes and people like followed him. It was Willowbrook Mall and kids like followed him like outside and just like killed him for the sneakers.
The guy who got shot in Texas, I think his the mother of the victim eventually talked to Michael Jordan and got some sort of an apology. And I think that was kind of a catalyst, one, for them to make more pairs, and also for them to figure out how to better release sneakers, because those times you didn't have as orderly a raffle system and way to claim things online and go in a certain time slot, things like that, 2012. After that, it was 2013, the Gamma Blues. Are those the worst?
Are those the worst Blues.
Jordan 11s?
What do you think?
Was that
December release as well?
Yeah, December.
That's probably the weakest one. Well, I remember, I didn't buy those. I got those sent, and I actually liked them. I was like excited to get them, and then it reminds me of kind of like the Grape Fives that were black suede, where everyone was like, "Oh, these
are Foster Kamer."
Yeah, Foster Kamer had a pair.
Yes. I like the black grapes.
The black.
Didn't age well.
No, did not age well at all.
Yeah, because I remember, I think I told you guys about it, but the first time I saw that shoe, I had been working at Complex full-time for maybe a month. It was right around Christmas, and I'm in the kitchen as, like, you know, a new hire, just waiting for a coffee, and a guy walks up to me, super tall, and I look down at his feet. He's got the Gamma Blue 11s on, and I look up, and he just says to me, "Why is everyone asking me, why do I have a polar bear on my sweater?" Because he's wearing a polar bear sweater. And it was fucking Waka Flocka.
Wow.
Standing in the Complex kitchen, who was making a video how to carve a turkey.
Mm. Did he influence you to buy a pair?
No, he didn't, but that's just kind of a very strange...
Have you ever owned a pair of Jordan 11s?
I own a pair right now.
Yeah?
From Snipes. And he got the remote control that...
We reselling?
Conks out.
It wasn't charged all the way. I think it'll be charged when we leave here.
Sorry, just so people know, what is... You got a package with a remote control car and a Jordan 11 attached?
Yeah, from Snipes.
DJ Khaled sent it? He's the new creative director.
No, it's people I know from Germany.
Okay, so 4 days ago, though, was your first pair of Jordan 11s.
That's crazy to me. No offense.
Yeah.
No offense.
And you, I think you said the only Jordans you ever had were the Aqua 8s?
Yeah, I had Aqua 8s, and I think I bought a pair of 21s for like $22 that were sitting in the back of... Foot Locker. But
did you ever have the urge to buy a pair of Jordan 11s throughout the years when it came Christmas time? Not even working at Foot Locker.
To be honest, it was the thing that you only had one pair, and I think that my friends wanted them more than I did, and I was kind of trying to be a good friend and
look at you.
In the giving spirit.
Selfless.
But also, like we said too, like the resale market wasn't as crazy back then, or it was like a lot of like hurdles that you had to jump through to resell these shoes.
Yes.
So in my head, I'm like, I don't even want to deal with that stuff, man.
And like we said, they're making more and more pairs and kind of diluting the resale prices. So to go on to the next year, 2014. Legend Blue Jordan 11s. I'm still calling those Columbias. Those were everywhere, but people were still getting pepper sprayed for them.
That's my favorite Air Jordan 11. Not the Legend Blues, but the Columbias.
Oh, Legend Blue Columbia.
No, I just like, because you see the OG ones, and it looks kind of cool because it's an all-white shoe, but all the pairs to this day, like the patent is kind of like yellowed on it, and I think it looks dope.
Also, let's not forget 2014, the Ultimate Gift of Flight pack. Do you remember that? The blue, the Pantone blue Jordan 11s.
Oh, that one was awful.
Was that the Matt Harvey sneaker shopping one?
Yeah.
Remember?
Matt Harvey may or may not have told a questionable story about having those shoes back in the day.
Come on.
And I remember us sitting in the office and Joe being like, should we edit this out or not? Are we going to make him look stupid?
It
wasn't that. I argued that maybe he had a special makeup. He was playing at UNC, right?
Yeah, but I don't think baseball players were high up on that.
Yeah.
And those were cool because those Pantone Air Jordan series kind of existed for a few years where it was like one through whatever number it was up to at that time. There would be these all blue Air Jordan retro models. And it was one of those ones that you just assume would never, ever release.
I think not to name names, but I think there was a certain rapper who had a fake pair of Pantone Air Jordans around the same time who got called out for him. And
I know which rapper you're talking about.
But come on the show.
I actually have, this is a really weird one that I have for some reason, is the Pantone Jordan 11, because I can't remember how much the pack retailed for, but that was one of those really expensive packs where it was like, you buy two shoes, but it's like $450 or $500. But I had a friend working at Jordan at the time, and she was nice enough to let me get it with the employee discount. So I think that I got it for half off or something like that. The only conditions under which I would have purchased those Jordan 11s. Next year was the 72 and 10.
Okay, so the 72 and 10 moved like
December
crazy.
2015, yes.
Moved like crazy.
Millions of pairs.
Millions of pairs, and they were moving. I was around. I was on vacation in Fort Lauderdale.
What was going on in Fort Lauderdale?
I was on vacation in Fort Lauderdale.
Who were you with?
Doesn't have to be discussed here.
This wasn't a Kith trip.
Wasn't a Kith trip.
Yeah, there wasn't a pop up there.
Kid Fort Lauderdale. No, I remember those released. I was in Fort Lauderdale, and it was one of those releases where the people I were with were like, oh, I don't know if I should get these. And they hung around the whole day. Mm-hmm. The shoes hung around the whole day. I guess the allotment was so much. Mm-hmm. And then I think two people I were with ended up buying them later in the day. And then he was hearing from people how many units Jordan moved that day.
Yeah. This was one of those ones that the brand was very transparent about in an earnings call that came months later, the way they were reflecting on the successes for the past quarter.
It was like
quarter.
The most sold sneaker ever.
Trevor Edwards was like, you know, it was the largest ever launch in the history of Nike.com, breaking sales and traffic records. He said, with this launch, we doubled Nike.com's previous largest launch ever. That's how many of these
there
were.
I think the problem with that shoe was, though, wasn't the patent leather, like, it had, like, sparkles in it?
Yeah.
I just think that looks a little weird.
That was another one you skipped out on.
Yeah, I just, did you buy them?
No.
I don't think I didn't buy them.
No.
And you're also the king of just buying stuff and kind of just stashing it away. Like, Brendan is literally like the squirrel of sneakers.
Mm. Yeah, like I said, I have the fucking ultimate gift of flight pack Jordan 11s collecting dust on the bottom of a pile
like
of shoes.
Like every single like Ronnie Fieg, like ASIC shoe, just like dead stock sitting somewhere.
Funny story. You know what? The situation in my room, it's very hectic. Hundreds of sneakers in there. But it changes depending on the season because I have the heat vent on one wall. And so in the winter, I can't stack shoes up in front of the heat vent because it'll presumably melt them over several months. I promise this story has a tie to what we're talking about right now. So this morning I was moving some stuff because things are falling right now. And I opened up an old ASICS box that was in front of the heat vent. And it was the Mint Gel Light 3s.
Okay. Classic.
A Ronnie Fieg shoe.
Those are a classic.
One of the cool stories I remember hearing from the Space Jam release the first time in 2009 when it came out. So I used to work at a store up in New Hampshire, and I've already mentioned, but this
was Foot Locker?
Foot Locker, yeah. And the system manager at the time, this guy, Timmy, that I used to work with, he somehow got a connect to get into, it recently shut down in the past few years, but there was a Nike employee store in Greenland, New Hampshire.
Right.
That was the only other Nike employee store outside of Oregon.
I think there's one in Memphis.
Okay. Maybe there was three.
For the distribution
center. Yeah. But this was like one of the rare random ones.
Yeah, of course.
And he somehow convinced them, because he worked at Foot Locker, which never happened, to let them, you'd have to go there and sign up that you were like a Nike employee and put your name on a list, and they'd put your size and they would hold it for you. You showed up and you got the shoes for 50% off.
Yeah.
Which is crazy that he finessed his way in, and after I think that they were like, you can't come back. You got your one pair, you're done. Sorry.
I know people would even line up at the employee store in Beaverton. You know, that's a place where you don't see lines too often, but you would see on Facebook whenever these Jordan 11 drops were happening in December around Christmas time, you would see photos of outside the Nike employee store, you know, people lined up around the block. I mean, it's not really a block, but, you know, they were doing like wristband, you know, that's how big these were, even to people who had access to them at Nike. Space Jams came back in 2016. I was actually, that was one of those moments. Joe, a sigh from you, why is that?
I don't remember. A lot of these releases, besides the 7210, which was different, a lot of these releases kind of morph into each other for me, which I don't know if that's because I'm consuming too much content on a daily basis or what.
I think the one moment I remember about that release is it was huge. We actually had a meeting with Jordan Brand, I remember, to help advertise that because they were trying to do such a big push on the Space Jam situation. That did like 10 different like Space Jam sneakers.
Yeah.
I remember writing a kind of a retrospective on that 2009 release. And at the time, your man, Al, who was working at, I don't know, but he bought his first pair of Space Jams, and that was the passing of the torch and
from
sneaker
who to
culture.
Who. From who to who. We got a long way to go.
And you know what? In some ways, I felt disenchanted when the Space Jams came back out in 2016 because I realized I didn't care that much.
Yeah.
You know, not that long before 2009 when they came out the last time, I would have done anything. And indeed, I spent hours on dial-up trying to refresh NikeStore.com to get a pair. And by this time, I just didn't care that much, even though I think the build at 2016 was closer to the original. They had the higher patent leather cut. You know, it was in the remastered era when Jordan.
Oh, that
ran.
Was crazy! I forgot. Yes. I actually went to a Jordan brand event for that. This was when I was still in the brand's good graces.
Well, you probably actually wore Jordans and you didn't wear competing brand.
I wore a pair of Clark's Wallabies.
Okay,
and
that's fine.
Played it neutral.
Hold on. Just real quick, I love that move. That is a classic industry move when you have multiple industry parties to go to in one night. You can't bring around a tote bag with three pairs of shoes, so Clark's Wallabies, that's my go-to.
Yeah, but I think they did, it was at Harlem on 125th Street. They, like, painted the whole building with the Monstars on it and all that sort of stuff. It was kind of like a wild build-out for that release. Like, I've never seen Jordan Brand actually try to, because I feel like Jordan Brand, for the longest time, they didn't have to market it, because they were like, people are going to buy this shit anyways.
Yeah.
And the Space Jams in 2016 was the first time where Jordan Brand and their sales had dipped a little bit at that point. We're kind of like, we need people to buy this shoe again.
And it worked. This was a couple successive years. So Trevor Edwards, former Nike exec, but at the time he said it was the most successful and largest sneaker launch for Nike. Like, things just kept getting bigger year after year.
Going all the way up.
Yeah. 2017, the next year, I feel like they didn't do any OG colorways that year, if I'm correct. They did the navy. They had the Win Like 82 and then the Win Like 96, which was the red one that looked like a mellow PE. But people were still going crazy for them. I went back on soulcollector.com, and this is like in the span of like 2 weeks. These are the headlines around these shoes. Mother of DC teen says son killed for Air Jordans. That's one of them. Seattle teen robbed while trying to sell his Jordans. Shots fired outside Air Jordan line in Portland. $7,200 of unreleased Jordans stolen from Nike Town, New York. So even in a kind of a down year in some ways, I feel like 2017, because it wasn't OG colorways. Granted, they made up for it by doing two, but it was still like madness. It's still, and even when there's hundreds of thousands or millions of pairs, there's still people like just feel it's something instinctual at this point where it's like, oh, there's a Jordan 11 coming out in December. I have to go crazy for them.
Was that the last time, you think, 2017, that we heard stories about the violence around this shoe?
I feel like Concord's in 2018 wasn't as crazy, and that was another one they said, this is the most successful launch ever. Like, things kept getting bigger in terms of numbers, so I feel like that kind of mitigated the violence.
I forget what year it was, but I want to say it was at a Finish Line, maybe in Indianapolis, where there was like a fight video that hit the internet, and people were taking the store fixtures and swinging them around at people. It was like,
you love that stuff. Don't act like don't love it.
Have you ever been in like a dicey situation trying to resell a pair of shoes?
Trying to resell a pair of shoes?
Yeah, or buy a pair of shoes.
I mean, I have.
No, not online. I mean, IRL.
Yeah.
What, a release that people really went over?
No, like buy shoes off of someone.
Buy shoes. Oh, mostly I'm the person selling them. And okay. I have lots of stories like that, but I'm trying to think like,
did anyone press you IRL, or you thought they were going to run
ever,
off?
No one's ever pressed me.
Not taken an L since.
Well, you got someone threatened to rob you over your
Galaxy phone posits.
Yeah.
They said, do we have time for that? I would love. I want like a 30 for 30 on that.
We don't. They said, don't leave the office. It was 23rd Street. I posted the Galaxy phone posits on Twitter, and they said, don't think about leaving the office. Spoiler alert, I left the office untouched.
Galaxy foams on feet?
Not on feet, but in hand. All right. Well, listen. We did a good job unpacking the significance, I think, of the Jordan 11 releases. What? Any last words from you guys?
I just hope that continues to be. What's up?
Did you get these, or did?
Ooh, two out of three people got these. Did you get them?
No, I'm saying, are you going to like
the black and red Jordan 11?
Yeah, have you got them?
I did not.
Okay, but are you going to, or?
It's one of those shoes where, like, if it's easy, then I'll probably do it. But like, the retail prices slowly crept up too, and I think that's not to be ignored. Like, what do these cost at retail? I know neither of you guys paid money for them, but
what, $225 or something like that?
Yeah,
it's
like,
a beautiful shoe, though, honestly. I know it sounds corny and a little nerdy. Looking at it right now with this old school box, it's a beautiful shoe.
You know what I'm always reminded of? This shoe is an old website, Kixclusive,
okay,
because their stock images for the pairs from around like 2000, 2001 were so good because of the way the light would reflect around the patent leather, and it just looked kind of otherworldly. So
I could picture Joe wearing breaking out the En Noir leather pants again.
Oh my God.
Which were out at the holiday party.
Well, yep. You guys asked if I got these. Like I said, I didn't, but I might if it's easy. But more often than not, when it comes to Jordan 11 purchases these days, I'm more tempted by guys who are posting 1996 pairs on their Instagram for relatively cheap, you know, for around like $300, $350. Sometimes the sole is separating, but you can get somebody to fix that. So nowadays, I'm more tempted by just going and getting the original pairs than whatever is coming out in December each year. And I'm certainly not lining up for them.
Okay. came too far for that. You worked too hard for that.
You're working.
Not the same kid who sent the kid $40 to get the size 5 that you ended up reselling and not caring about the story that was actually a good story. And
thank you, Devin Scarf.
Yeah. Shout out to Devin Scarf. Where is he now? You left him behind like you did the Jordan 11s that he bought for you?
Like he left Idaho.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he left the potatoes.
Oh, my God.
Thanks, Devin.
I haven't talked to Devin in some time, and that's probably okay.
Okay.
We've been talking about our favorites at the end of each of these. Can we just, like, our favorite Jordan 11 colorway?
I know mine right away.
Yeah, I said it already, but it's OG Columbia.
Any particular reason?
Mentioned it, but the yellowing on the patent leather, I think, looks really cool.
Mine, cool gray Jordan 11. The story I told in the beginning of the summer of 2001, and then just them looking pristine now still. I think Teddy used them in a lookbook for Ame.
And your personal pair?
Not my personal pair, but still look as good 20 or so years later, and just that's definitely my favorite colorway.
It's almost a Space Jam to me because of how hard I tried to get them in 2009, but I think it is a cool gray as well because the Jordan 11 is such a like tough shoe to wear, but the cool gray kind of looks
luxe.
The most...
Looks luxe, doesn't
it? Yeah, but like it looks less absurd than the rest of them because it's like a tonal thing, you know what I mean? And it's one of those pairs that I still have sitting around, and I still might wear one day.
And none of us are getting sneakers for Christmas, right, I assume?
I don't think so. Do people buy you sneakers for Christmas?
No, it's one of those things I would even feel absurd asking. Yeah.
You ask for people?
No.
How
one
old are you? You ask?
No,
you have a Christmas
but
list?
No, but
you got an Amazon wish list? What kind of thought are you?
No, but my mom was always what would you want?
Bobby, you're nice.
She's like, what would you want for Christmas? And I like, even
Socks.
For the past 10 years, I don't even.
And Hanes white tees for me.
Never.
Whatever I get, I'm happy with.
Perfect place to end the podcast, episode 5. We thank you guys for joining us. Please subscribe. Give us a positive review if you want. And we will see you next week. Next week is Christmas. So.
Never stops.
Never stops. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks so much. Our podcast producer is Shiva Bayet. Our audio engineer is Jasmine Plata. Special thanks to Gerald Flores, Dave Matthews, and Alejandro De Jesus. The Complex Sneakers Podcast is a production of the Complex Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.